I'm introducing Courtney today, and she's a very, very dear friend of mine, and we met through equine. We're both equine majors, and she is a mother of Caden and Simon, two beautiful little boys who I get the privilege of babysitting sometimes, and she's the wife to Anthony, and she's in the ransom class. And she loves early morning runs and coffee and nature. And something really cool about her is she served in the Army National Guard and toured Baghdad. So most importantly, Jesus loves the Lord Jesus. And it's so inspiring to me. And I really look up to her as a Christian and a mother. And my life has changed because of her. And I know that the Lord Jesus loves me because of her presence in my life, and she's so generous. And that's one of the things that she's so good at showing is Jesus' generosity and all of his gifts that he gives. And, I'm not even going to list all the gifts that she's given me because there's so many. But, I feel the presence of the Lord when I'm near her, and she's so special to me. And not only does she give gifts, she is a gift. And so I just pray that all of you would see that she is a gift today, and that you would hear her and open your eyes and your heart to what she has to say, because she's so special, and I just thank the Lord Jesus for her. And, you're awesome. And here she comes. Okay, bye.
Did you guys see that bee flying around up here just a minute ago? If it comes at me and I'm diving, that's why. So as Laura said, my name is Courtney. I came to Asbury first in 2011, so I get to graduate in May. I'm excited. thanks. So I wanted to share one of my favorite memories when I was a child. We lived on a farm, and a friend was driving down the road behind a semi, and the semi had hit a deer, and she had just given birth to babies on the side of the road, and he had noticed that, so he pulled over and got the baby deer, and he brought them to our house, and so we got to raise them, and I just remember feeling safe and like I had purpose. And I would sleep with the deer. We would let it in the house, and it would run around and make my mom go crazy because it'd knock everything over. So that didn't last very long. But I grew up in a broken family. We didn't go to church, and my voice is getting shaky. My father was abusive to my mother, and I was the oldest of four kids. So early on, I took it as my purpose to take care of my siblings, my brother and my two sisters. And I realized that I couldn't save them, but I could get them out of the house away from what was happening. And so that was kind of where I found purpose. And then as I grew, my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old, and I remember being excited, which is kind of a weird thing, but I thought they were pretty, and there's that bee. Just do that. That was really crazy. Sorry. So they divorced in 91 when I was 8 years old, and they... it was kind of a different story. My mom still would go to guys that weren't that safe, but she was just looking for love, kind of like all of us look for love. And I'm kind of going to fast forward in my story because the Lord told me that this morning, actually, that we can get so caught up in our past that we don't see the thing that he's doing now and the healing that he's done in our hearts. So I'm going to fast forward to why I joined the military. I was 20 years old and was dropping my third semester of college because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And randomly I thought, I'll join the military. And so I called a recruiter and told him I wanted to join. And When I went to basic training, I thought I had walked away from God. I hadn't prayed about the decision or anything. And I just thought I had walked away. And the first time I went to chapel during basic training, the chaplain was a female, and she said, "You may think that you're here by accident, but God has a purpose for you here in the military, and he's going to use you." And that woke me up, and I realized that God is with you wherever you go, no matter what choice you make. And it doesn't mean that he always agrees with the choice, but he's still with you. And so when I was 12 years old, I guess I will tell that part, I went to church for the first time and heard about Jesus. And so I made a commitment to follow him. And for the next 18 years of my life, I was trying so hard to earn his love, like going to church, learning about him, and really trying to prove that I was worth loving, because I had grown up feeling a sense of abandonment. I didn't know where I belonged. And in my mind the entire time, I had these constant voices of, "You're not worthy, you're not good enough, you don't have a voice, nobody's going to listen to you." And I would overcome that to other people, but inside, eternally, there was a battle going on, and I wasn't winning that battle. So I thought that if I joined the military, too, like, that would make me, I would get stronger, and I could overcome. And again, the Lord showed me that was me doing it in my own strength, but he still chose to use that time to draw me closer to him. And then I prayed, and in my mind I thought, if I get married, and I knew my husband at the time wasn't saved, when he becomes a Christian, then I'll feel better. Like, this internal battle will go away. And that day came, April 7th, 2013, and the life group that I was in of women, they were celebrating around me, and they were so excited for my husband, more excited than I was. And I was asking, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I not so excited? This is what I've prayed and asked for. And the battle on the inside started coming out, like the anger that I had inside from my childhood and just growing up and not feeling like I could get close to God, came out, and I could see it. I was acting like a Pharisee towards my husband, expecting him to read the Bible and do things, and calling him out when he wasn't doing it. And then I heard a testimony 3 months later from a friend, Becca, who actually went to Asbury, and she talked about knowing all the words, knowing the Bible, and knowing what to say, but on the inside feeling lost, feeling like this constant voice of condemnation. And when she shared her story, it clicked in me that that was my story, that I still had that voice of condemnation, and I was trying and, like, striving to earn his love. And so I asked Jesus, like, where are you in my heart? And he gave me a picture of him sitting in a rocking chair, and I was in front of him as a little girl holding out my hand. And he said, "I've been pursuing you, and you've been pursuing me, but you haven't yet surrendered your heart to me." And so in that moment, I surrendered my heart and said, "I just give you my life. I give you everything." And all of the things that I knew about in the Word of God came to life inside of me, and it changed me on the inside. And that was on July 17th of 2013. And I want to end with a dream that he gave me a year ago and kind of explain. He told me that this was actually a word for everyone. So, I was running an errand at night, and I was driving in a car. I saw an accident coming, and instantly on impact, my spirit came out and shot straight forward. And then, like a roller coaster, I said, "Lord, please not now. I don't want to leave." And everything was still. It seemed like moments, but when I woke up, it was like hours. My whole body ached, and my face was scarred and bruised, and my face was also puffy. And my body ached, and I was carried to a tall white building, and there was a man there, handsome with love in his eyes. He taught me how to walk. He encouraged me and spent time with me. He taught me how to run, and I was overfilled with joy and his love, and I stayed with him for a while. Then he said, "It's time to go home." I walked through the door up to my husband, and he woke up. He smiled, and his face changed, and fear gripped him, and he said, "What happened to you?" And I began to share the story I just told you. I told him that I died, and I came back to life, that Jesus brought me back. I tried to tell others, but they didn't believe. We sat down at a table with friends, and he was on the right side of me. And I think this is for anyone, not just like, this isn't about my husband, it's about us, how we can be. He was distracted with headphones on his ears and music playing and a cell phone in his hands, and his eyes were looking all around. I took the headphones out of his ears and grabbed his hands, and I said, "Pay attention. God has a message for you. You are my son, and I delight over you. I forgive you, and I'm not walking you into deep waters. You may have left me, but I have never left you. You are the son or daughter I have loved and watched over. I love your heart towards people. I will not call you into a place that I have not prepared you, for I am doing a new thing. And in the past, fear has gripped your life, and you have had a need to be loved. You gave it your all and was hurt, but that's not me. The deep well inside of you can only be filled with me. I am calling you out of fear and rejection. I have never left or rejected you, and I will never stop pursuing you. So step into me fully, because I am the one you will do this, who will do this in you and through you. You are no longer a slave, but a son and a daughter, and you are a warrior. You are in my army, a weapon towards the enemy, and you will not be destroyed or struck down. So rise up and receive my fullness. What can mere mortals do to you? I've got you, and I will never let you go. I love you, you are mine, and I am yours." And I'd like to end with a prayer. Father God, I thank you that you call out to your sons and daughters. I pray that the fires that are inside of their hearts would ignite, and that they would hear your voice, that they would go into the deeper places with you, and they would experience you fully for who you are, all of you. I thank you for this time and for every person that's in this room, Lord. I thank you for the plans you have for them, for good and not for evil. And I pray that you carry them out in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
This morning, I have the privilege of introducing my longtime friend, Ryan Harrison. Ryan is the husband to a somewhat newly married Hannah Harrison, and he is the father to a little yellow lab, Cricket. Ryan's not only a friend, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For those who do know Ryan, know he's not very talkative, but when he is talkative, he's quick to listen, slow to speak. He chooses his words carefully. But when he does speak, he's full of wisdom, and he sounds like Forrest Gump. There's very few things that I can say about Ryan that Ryan doesn't exhibit in his everyday life. He's one of the most unselfish people I've ever met. Ryan's never seeked to give glory to himself. He always seeks to give God everything. He's the most authentic person that I know. I almost cry talking about him. Me and him have spent many a night praying, preaching, and just goofing off together. I love the guy, and like I said, I'm going to make this quick. So, Ryan, it's all yours, buddy.
You know, I will admit, I feel like Peter right now, getting ready to step out of the boat. So, y'all still hear me? All right. Yeah, I am a very non-traditional student, 28 years old, and my testimony, I'm going to try to compact it as much as possible and try to get everything in, because my testimony itself is why I'm here standing before you. So, I grew up in Irvington, Alabama, just 10 minutes north of Bayou LaBattery. If you've seen Forrest Gump, you know where that's at. South of Mobile County, it's about 10 hours south, right on the Gulf Coast. Get hurricanes all the time. But I want to jump right into it. At the age of 10, my grandfather passed away from cancer. He had a five-year struggle with it. He, evidently, and I didn't know at the time, he was diagnosed with it when I was 5 years old. So over that course of time, I saw him wither away. He was a big man, played football in high school, and was a pipe fitter at a paper mill. 2 years after that, at the age of 12, my parents divorced. So it left me with no father figure in my life whatsoever. At the age of 15, though, I came to know the Lord personally. Was raised in church all my life, though. But coming to know the Lord personally is a whole different meaning than just inheriting your parents' faith. But that night, at the time I had a girlfriend, and it happened at church camp, but I don't remember exactly what was said from the speaker's message, but when they done an altar call, I was literally pulled toward the altar to come and give my life to the Lord. And I can't explain why. My girlfriend came up there and wrapped her arms around me and said, "How do you know?" I said, "I don't. I just do." But jumping ahead, didn't want to go back home. Knew that I was going to just fall into the same routine of the world and what was acceptable. But I had that serious relationship. That relationship lasted 3-4 years. Ended my senior year of high school. When I started college at the University of South Alabama, I entered another relationship. Both of those relationships became sexual. So I had premarital sex. And that really damaged and scarred me. I had a twisted view of what a relationship was, and that's all it became was sex. When I quit the University of South Alabama, my last relationship ended. And I made a promise to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I never again will I follow suit in those acts again in a relationship." That's all it became. There was no life. There was no meaning in it. And the reason why I left college the first time was because I was unhappy. I felt like I was wasting my time, spinning my wheels. I was pursuing a degree in electrical engineering, and I couldn't see myself sitting behind a desk all the time. So in the summer of 2009, after seeking the Lord for direction, and thanks to my mom, I stumbled upon a 5-year electrical apprenticeship program, typically known as the IBEW, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. When I first heard that name, I was like, "Is this some kind of cult or something?" But soon enough, I found out that it wasn't. Like I said, the program was 5 years long, had class one night a week. And I was hired by a company called Gulf Electric. Met a lot of great guys, learned a lot of great things, started hanging out with apprentices after work, going out, partying, drinking. And these are things I didn't do in high school. But going out and doing those things and eventually leading to strip clubs. But the odd thing is, in the midst of all that stuff, God was doing inner working in my heart. And this may be weird to say, but going in the, I reluctantly went to those places, especially the strip club, and I said, "I'll go if you pay my way." And so they was like, "Okay, sure." But going in those places, my attention wasn't on what was going around. It was spiritual. I was aware of the darkness, the sin of the lust on the men's faces in there, and it was just overwhelming me. And after the second time going, I said, Lord, never again. I can't do that. That's a path I don't want to go down. So over the course of the apprenticeship, I decided that when I finished, I was going to go overseas and be a civilian electrician for the military. Heard that you can make six figures a year, tax-free. It's like, that's a pretty good deal. I'm single. Why not? But in the middle of it, the Lord really started tugging at my heart and changing my view and what I wanted to do in my life. So I've been reading the Left Behind series. I know some people laugh about that, but it's a good series. My grandmother's reading it, so we would talk about it. But in the midst of it, I started searching the scripture where they was getting this information from, and was using the King James Version that I had that I was given when I graduated high school from my home church. But anyway, it happened October 10, 2010. I was sitting at home on Saturday night reading. And I slammed it shut. I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I was like, I can't understand it. And my brother, my wife wanted me to make sure I included this. My brother is autistic, Asperger's. Very high functioning. If you met him, you wouldn't think nothing was wrong with him except he's quiet. But I'm quiet too, so. But anyway, I said, Adam, come on, we're going to the mall. So we got to Books a Million. I found the religion section, and I saw all the Bibles. I was like, you got to be kidding me. How many times you got to translate the Bible in English? And so I kept walking and pacing up and down the aisle. I said, I don't know what I need. All I knew that I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know what was fit for me. I knew that I wanted something that was easy to understand and something that I could study. So I looked at my brother, I said, start picking stuff out for me, I need help. So he was looking through different Bibles, reading translations, and nothing was just making sense. And the last one that I had in my hand, I put it back on the shelf, and I took a step back, and out of nowhere, this elderly man was standing to the left of me. And in the meantime, all this, I was asking the Lord for help. And he asked me, he said, are you looking for a Bible? I was like, yes, sir. And he put on his bifocals, and where we were standing at, he named off three different translations. And the first one I picked up, I understood the Word of God for the first time in my life. I started shaking. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm sitting here trying to understand the Word of God. I pray, I ask for help. This guy shows up. And so I put it back, and I thank him. The guy was dressed real old-fashioned, button-up shirt, had slacks, suspenders on, white beard. But he didn't look like he worked there, had no apron, no name tag or nothing. He stood there for a second, and he nodded his head, and he walked down the aisle. And I looked to my brother, who was on the right of me. I said, did you see him walk up? He said, no. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yes. And if you know my brother, he doesn't miss anything. We can go into a store and go in two different directions. 30 minutes later, he shows up right behind you. But I told him, I said, we got to find him. So we ran down the aisle and went in the direction that he turned. We could not find him in the store whatsoever. I was like, oh, Lord, you got to be kidding me. So I started, my mind started racing. I was like, was that possibly an angel that the Lord sent to help me? Whether it is or not, I don't know. But whatever's the case, I know he was sent from God. But anyway, ended up purchasing the Bible, went home. And It's like I was being fed for the first time. I was so hungry for the Word of God, and it was the only thing that could satisfy what my soul needed. And as I was reading, and this went on for months, I began to realize that people don't know this. The lives that they live, they claim to be Christian, but they don't know what the Scripture says. And so the Lord began convincing my heart that He had called me to go to the people and to be an example. And I know that the biggest thing that you can do as a Christian is be an example. And I say that because my mom, after my grandfather died, her faith, especially with the divorce also, her faith was failing fast. And I asked her one day, I said, "Do you even believe in God anymore?" She said, "I don't know." And hearing those words, my heart broke, and I prayed silently. I said, "Lord, what do I do?" And ever so softly, I heard, "Be the example." Within a year's time, my mom's faith turned around, and she came to know the Lord on a deeper level, more than she had ever known in her past. But that leads to the question of why I'm here at Asbury. I finished the apprenticeship in the summer of 2013. I was making $21.50 an hour. I had two retirement packages and a pretty good health insurance. Some of the guys that I worked with thought I was foolish for giving that up and coming back to school. But some of the older electricians, they told me I was too smart to do electrical work and I needed to go back to school. But why Asbury? Why did I decide to come? And it wasn't a flip of a hat that I came. God had to work a lot, work in me a lot. The most important fact is Brother Roy Lauder. We met him after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast and flooded our church. And he brought aid from the church he was pastoring in Indiana. So over the years, I got to meet him and get to know him. The second is as me and Tyler's relationship grew, me and him became like Paul and Barnabas. He'd already made up in his mind that he was coming to Asbury. And he was doing everything he could to convince me. And I know in my heart that the Lord used him to convince me, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And when I finally decided to just come check out the campus, I remember coming into chapel and I said, "Lord, if you want me here, it's going to take a lot of convincing. Because I'm too blessed back home with my job and the way things are going to forsake all of that." But I sat in the back, and I don't remember the speaker's name. She was a female. But she was speaking about the conversation between God and Moses when God was commissioning him to go to Egypt to free his people. And as I sat there and listened, she said, in her own words, what God said to Moses: "To trust me, pull the trigger and cross the line." When I heard those words, it echoed in my head, and I lost all consciousness of everything around me. And I knew right then, I said, "Lord," I said, "okay." I was like, "You want me here? I'll come here." So, as I said, I finished the apprenticeship in the summer of 2013. Was planning on starting that fall, but I wanted to earn a little bit more money, especially at that journeyman wage I was making, because y'all know as well as I do, Asbury's expensive. But I learned that even though that I was blessed, didn't mean that I should stay there. Because if I knew if I stayed there, I was going to become complacent. And the faith that I had gained was going to disappear. So I came to Asbury for a solid foundation to be laid. He's put great men of God in my life, both back home, who Doug Sanford is a mentor, me and Tyler, and now we have Roy Lauder up here. So without that foundation, if anyone's ever worked construction, the building becomes unstable. And I knew that was an important thing I needed if the Lord was going to commission me to go to the people. Upon leaving home, and I drew a lot of encouragement from this, I honestly felt like Abraham. When God appeared to Abraham and said, go to this place with no destination whatsoever, no idea of what my life was going to be like. I left my family. I remember driving down the road that day that I left. Knew that I wasn't going to return permanently unless the Lord called me back. I told him, I said, Lord, my family is in your hands now. I've been the example, and now that I turn them to you. I left my job, my friends, everything to pursue what the Lord was leading me to do. So in all honesty, after Asbury, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that my first summer up here after my first semester, I began looking back over the course of my life, and the interaction of receiving the Word of God and understanding it for the first time in 2010, my graduation date is 2017. It's a 7-year period. Biblically, the number 7 means perfection, completion. I don't know what that entails for me. I'm not going to say I'm going to be the perfect person when I finish school. But I know that's a sign that God's doing a great work in my life. So like I said, I don't know where I'm going after this. But what I do know, in John 3:8, it says, the wind blows wherever it will, and you hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. And one more scripture, and I just discovered this past week. Hebrews 10:36. To do the will of God, you need endurance. And so receive what is promised. So if you are wholeheartedly searching to do God's will, you're going to need endurance. The Christian life is not one to take lightly. There will be sacrifices that need to be made. And I understand in the shape that our country is in, it's now more than ever that Christians need to rise up and be the men and women of God that He's called each of you to be. So I count the things that I've been through in my past, both the sadness and struggles and the darkness, as adding into the endurance to do God's will. I made sure before me and Hannah got married that God's called me to a purpose, and I don't know what that is. That very well can lead to the Middle East, where there's persecution going on with ISIS. It could be right here in Kentucky. It could be back home in Alabama where she wants to go because it's warm. But I made sure before we got married that she understood the call that I had accepted. So I'm going to close in prayer, and afterwards y'all are dismissed. So if you'll bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. Even though at times we're not aware of those. But God, we ask the Lord that you would open our hearts and our ears and our eyes, Lord, to see your goodness in all things. We pray, God, that you would increase our endurance, increase our faith. And as we are here at Asbury, let us grow and let our roots grow even deeper. Because, Father, when we leave this place, the world is filled with evil. And it's going to take your glory and your goodness through us to repel that darkness. So, God, we just thank you for all that you've done and the opportunity to come here. We ask, Lord, that throughout the rest of the week that we may begin to see your hand in our lives.